Shorty got the head to a pain. Now understand she got flavor. A tough leather jacket with some jeans and a chain that her mom's gave her. Got off the train about 6:34. She wasn't sure she had grub for the door, so we hit the store. Went to the crib and turned the lights on. A crazy magazine stand, a message, some item. A leather couch, a stereo system with crazy CDs. Understand, cause she got cheese. She said, cheese, do what you want. She said, I'm gonna feed the dog. I said, all right, well, I'm a roller. She came back with stretch pants and a ponytail, a t-shirt. Hey, yo, top, I got a tenderoni girl. We're sitting on the couch chatting. We're smoking, so the balcony was staring at Manhattan. She started feeling on my chest. I started feeling on the breast. And there's no need for me to stress the rest. Hey, yo, I got myself a winner. We spoke the before we ate. And after we ate dinner, she had a tattoo. The only one to go to see. But first, then the lights turn up to Joe to see. I'm like, whatever, shorty rock, we could swing it like that. Cause on the real, this is where it's at.
Kinda broke the scene, y'all, so all I got is fire.
Player, give me some brew and I might just chill. You know stone is the way of the walk like Cypress Hill. But still groupies, hey, Coochie's wanna puff on it.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's Thursday the 16th. You're listening to Off the Beaten Path. I'm your host, Issa Arian, here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's community radio station. We're broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam and Coast Salish territory here from UBC's campus. And if you haven't listened before, for the next hour, actually, got asked to go till 9. So I'll be doing 2 hours, and I'll be taking you down my path. We'll be talking a little bit about some of the things that I like, because it's my show. What we'd like to talk here is a little bit of politics, a little bit of pop culture, lots of funny stuff, some Vancouver local news. Pretty much what I think is interesting that's going on during the week. There's lots of things that went on this week. There's lots of bracketology going on. Some stuff that I think is funny. Some stuff I think is pointless. But we're going to get to that. You know how we like to start off with the weather, particularly here in the Vancouver area. It's springtime, but it hasn't quite sprung yet. I've been running a football camp all week, so I'm tired of the rain. We've been having to spend a lot of the days in the rain. It's going to rain again today. If you have never been to Vancouver before or you live here, you know that you should carry your umbrella today, tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday, as it is 100% of precipitation. If you've also, tomorrow's the last day of the fund drive, and listen, we need we're always here looking for donations, because what we do here at CITR, we're a local independent community radio station. We provide opportunities for people to have alternative programming like me to get on the radio and talk. We are the independent radio station in Vancouver. We sponsor festivals, shows, host local bands. We really try to give a voice to some economically, socially, and politically underprivileged individuals and groups. So if you'd like to make a donation, the number is 604-822-8648. That's 604-822-8648. If you'd like to call in and talk to me, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-2487. We've got a lot going on here in this first hour. Before, I know I've been talking about getting into this interview that I did with Priest, this punk band from my hometown, D.C., and for the last 2 weeks I've talked about it. But actually today, we will get to it later in the hour. First, we're going to go through a little bit of some Vancouver news, but you're going to have to stay tuned with us as we have to play some information, some advertisements.
Hey there. This ad caught your attention. It also caught the attention of the coolest people from Squamish to Bellingham, music fans, students, and members of various cultural communities. If you want your ad to do the same, advertise with CITR and Discorder. If you've got a rad new ad or just something you want to share, whether in print, on air, or online, promote your wares, services, or events with us. Contact us at advertising@citr.ca or call 604-822-4342. Visit citr.ca for rates, information, and packages. This is the end of our ad, and if you're still here, we must be doing something right.
People, let me tell you about my best friend. Become a CITR member and make some new friends.
Members get discounts around Commercial Drive and beyond at Pandora's Box Rehearsal Studio, Bomber Brewing, Stormcrow Tavern, People's Co-op Bookstore, Mintage, High Life Records and Music, Bone Rattle Music Limited, JQ Clothing Limited, The Rio Theater, The Vancouver Music Gallery, North Van, and Tapestry Music Limited in White Rock.
What would we do without our friends?
Perfect.
We are not the same, we are not the same. Not come from the same club, don't play the same game. Okay. When I peel off, we ain't even in the same lane. You looking for me, but we ain't on the same plane. No, we are not the same, we are not the same. Not come from the same club, don't play the same game. Okay. When I peel off, we ain't even in the same lane. You looking for me, but we ain't on the same plane. I was never in the chasing silly hoes. No, I was never in the smoking Reginald. I was never in the copping shoes and clothes. Papa told me keep it low, just move like the G supposed. Whoa, I was told that I could never break the code. I was never in the gangs, now I move alone. I was never in the talking, just to talk. Y'all can't compare to the voice in my head, y'all just not God. I was never in the hallway lies and classroom gossip. I was always in the paper planes and smoking chronic. Y'all was trying to pass class while I'm master phonics. Now I got you hooked on. Hitting goes my pop so sonic. Yeah, I encourage you to keep on rocking. We was on MDMA before you popped that molly. We been there, we done that, we passed that. And you can't catch up, Holly. Home, that's everywhere I go, since home is where the heart is. I told y'all. We are not the same, we are not the same. Not come from the same club, don't play the same game. When I peel off, we ain't even in the same lane. You looking for me, but we ain't on the same plane. No, we are not the same, we are not the same. Not come from the same club, don't play the same game. When I peel off, we ain't even in the same lane. You looking for me, but we ain't on the same plane. While you was worried about who did who and what had happened, I was with Pops in the cypher rap at basement rapping. I know I'm blessed. Blessings piling up like Andre stacking. Feeling like a giant while I'm stomping through these concrete badlands. I got a rare essence, whole city my backyard. Known to drop bombs on a nigga if he come wrong. Who I come from, me and Trick was cruising in the Vic. Souped up, blowing perp, probably looking for a flip. Me and Jazz skipping class just to write a song. My right hand think the melodies done kept us gone. Me and Deezin had a season terrorizing VA. Now me and Epic finna terrorize your airwaves. Me, I'm in a rare state, Super Saiyan all day. I got my mind on my time and how much money you take to get it back. Shit, I'm ruling me in every way. Building a wall around my circle so these devils get space. Now give thanks. We are not the same, we are not the same. Not come from the same club, don't play the same game. When I peel off, we ain't even in the same lane. You looking for me, but we ain't on the same plane. No, we are not the same, we are not the same. Not come from the same club, don't play the same game.
You're back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR Vancouver. It's a community radio station. I'm your host, Issa Arian. We just listened to is my homie, Mo Luba. Shout out to Mo, South by Southwest this week. Trying to get put on. So we put on here for our friends, because we can do that. If you'd like to call in the number 604-822-2487, that's 604-822-2487, I think. Yeah, 2487. Like I said, it's the second to last day of the fun drive. Each show costs about $2,100 per year. So, you know, it's really, really helpful if you can make a donation. But getting into some of the news we have here in Vancouver. You know, here in Vancouver, the number one thing to talk about, or in BC in general, is this housing. And we like to talk about particularly drug crisis and homelessness, because those are the things that really affect here after the pipeline has already been basically put through. And if you're like me, you like scrolling on your Instagram a lot, or you're scrolling on your Facebook feed, and you see, you always stop and you see a really cool video. So if you've ever seen that video where they have the skyline and you see the clouds and the clouds are rising, and they show you that revolving video about that building, the Alberni. If you haven't seen it, you should look it up, because the video is really nice. The building looks really, it's just probably one of the coolest looking buildings I've ever seen. And there will be absolutely zero people living in it in 2018 when it opens. So I was reading a story on CBC about the building, the Alberni. It is it's a Japanese architect, Kuma, and I think it was made in conjunction with, if you've ever seen Abstract, it's like this documentary on Netflix. It's about different types of art. They have an individual on there, the architect, and it's the building was made in conjunction with, I think it's Bob or Big. Big is the architecture firm. Anyways, the average price of per square foot in the apartment building or the apartment complex is $2,000. Now you say like, oh, 2,000 square feet, that's a really expensive apartment. But to put in perspective about exactly how expensive an apartment is, they have studio apartments in there. So 500 square foot studio apartment. Excuse me. If you know what 500 square feet looks like, it's basically, just imagine your childhood bedroom plus your bathroom. That's about 500 square feet. And that's going for a little over $1 million. $1 million for a 500 square foot studio apartment. Now, if you can imagine having $1 million to spend on a condo, you would probably say, wow, staying in a studio apartment for the price tag $1 million is absolutely ridiculous. And while you would be absolutely right, it's absolutely ridiculous to think that anybody who can afford to stay in that building would purchase a condo for $1 million. However, the building is completely sold out, and people have bought it. But if you live in Vancouver, you know that that doesn't actually mean that people are going to be living in it. So this really, really nice building, the Alberni, is going to be another one of those skyscraper, really nice buildings here in Vancouver that has nobody living in it. If you've ever been to Olympic Village here and walked around, particularly at nighttime, this is some of the same things. You just see massive apartment complexes, massive apartment buildings with no lights on ever. Nobody walking around. The businesses that surround these buildings, they can't be supported because there's nobody who lives in the building to go to the coffee shop or to buy shoes from the shoe store or whatever type of store that there is. So they usually have like the flagship store that stays around, but all of the little leasehold spaces remain empty. Now, we've talked about this before on the radio, just on the insane amount of the same pricing here in Vancouver, and really what type of effect that has on the community, or how it really doesn't lend itself to have any type of community, because we have all of these buildings here in Vancouver, and you would think that Vancouver as a city would be way, way, way more lively. However, you notice that people just don't live in them. So I don't really know what the remedy is, because I think that they should, if people use these buildings as investment opportunities, I feel that there's a better way that these people can start saving money. Maybe I'm waiting for a developer to build a condominium building that is really just a bunch of closets, you know, like that, so people can just park their money. People can actually just physically move their money into the closet without taking up space, so that people like me and myself and my friends aren't always complaining, particularly about, one, how much housing costs, and two, how many people don't live in the buildings. I think the last estimate was there's 45,000 units in Metro Vancouver that are like purchased but unoccupied, and in the city it's, I think it's like 25,000. So imagine, it could be 25,000 more people living in downtown Vancouver. That's 25,000 more, you know, any type of profession or artist or just anything, just young people or even old people or middle-aged people, kids, anybody would be better than nobody. Moving on to, I saw this news this morning, watching a little bit of the news, that the Dutch government has hit back-to-back home runs. We should clap it up for the Dutch government as they defeated their Dutch Donald Trump. His name is Geert, but let's call him Geert Wilders. So he was the, you know, as we've seen a rise in really right-wing conservative politics, not only in Canada and in the United States, but really all over the world with Brexit and just some other policies, like, you know, we've seen, was it Marie Le Pen in France? And we've seen a rise around the world, and it's really nice to see that while Donald Trump was talking about how the Dutch people were complaining about all of these immigrants, that they actually reelected their prime minister, and their Dutch version of Donald Trump came in second place. But I also saw another story that the Dutch justice system has sentenced, I guess, Aiden Coben. He's a 38-year-old cyberbully who caused the death of a BC teenager a few years ago. She committed suicide because of some blackmailing that this pretty sick individual did. And so they sentenced him to 10 years. I think that's the maximum prison sentence you can get in the Netherlands, like, uncompared to the United States, when I think you can get, like, you know, 60 consecutive life sentences without parole. It would probably just be easier to just, you know, off him. However, what this guy doing is sick. So he's 38 years old. He sits in front of his computer and he pretends to be kids or whoever he thinks would entice someone on the internet, and gets them to, like, you know, do their thing in front of a webcam, and then threatens to blackmail them. But not only threatens them, he sends videos or you know, pictures or whatever content that you know, made with him, and he sends it to people's family members and people's jobs and just all types of, it's craziness. So I think he had over like 40 victims. And so my thought was, what type of grown 38-year-old man does this? And not only does this one time, but just continually does this. Like, how miserable must you be with your own life that you feel that this is your only outlet? Your only outlet is to make up fake Facebook profiles or fake MySpace, Friendster, or whatever, you know, whatever. I don't know what service that he was using, but to just lure people in and you know, get them to, you know, be vulnerable and expose himself. What a waste. But good on the Netherlands government for getting him out of the way. They just send him to America, because I feel like in America we don't play that, and we have the death penalty. So, and I'm not an advocate for the death penalty in most cases, but some people are just irredeemable. Like, I don't think that if you spent the last 10 years of your life, so if you spent from the year 28 to 38 on the internet cyberbullying people, trying to get people to send you nudes just so that you can blackmail them, I don't think that you really can come back from that as a 40-year-old man or a 50, whenever, however old he is when he gets out. Like, what are you going to do, restrict his internet access forever? Like, this man is no longer allowed to sign on the internet, which would be a horrible punishment. Could you imagine if there was a punishment where you could never, ever log on to the internet again? Like, you could never have access. So you would just have to have a flip phone, not even a flip phone, but like one of those phones from 7-Eleven. that's your only access to people. But even that, I feel like has slight internet access. I feel like people used to send tweets off of those things all the time, or never be able to go to the library, or anything. But let's move on before I get caught up. I think so. Canada Goose. If you don't know about Canada Goose, it's a Canadian jacket company. They sell jackets in like Nordstrom's. You see them all with the little circle patch, and they have the fur, the really soft fur. Now, if you have a Canada Goose jacket and you really enjoy that fur, you should probably think to yourself, you know, what type of person am I? What type of person am I? Am I the type of person that really likes to see small foxes trapped, and not even just trapped and caught and killed, but trapped and skinned alive so that I can, sport a jacket that I probably don't even use, you know, to stay warm? It's most likely fashionable. But real foxes are harmed when you purchase a Canada Goose jacket. But the company IPO'd yesterday, or they're IPOing today, and we're seeing a lot of protests from PETA, along with a lot of protests from other groups, PETA in particular, as they like to protest anything that has to do with animals. I'm not sure what type of animals that PETA really likes, but I know that they really hate when people, do stuff to dogs. I saw them send my favorite football player to jail for 2 years for it. Now, sometimes I think PETA can go a little bit overboard. However, I'm with them about the Canada Goose because people don't use that fox fur to stay warm, and those foxes need it. One thing that really made me mad when I was reading about the news this week, to really try to, get a nice feel about what's going on in BC this week, I saw that there's this Summerland development. Summerland is this area in eastern BC. I guess not eastern BC. It's just east of here, and so I feel like anything east of the east side is east BC to me because I don't feel like I'll ever travel east of Abbotsford. And only reason you go to Abbotsford is to see the tulips. I've been to Abbotsford. I've been to Chilliwack. I've been to another small town out there. There's nothing. I don't know. I mean, there's not nothing. There's just nothing for me. But there's this development that's being proposed right on the fish hatchery. I guess it's the largest hatchery in BC, and it's only one of four for trout or salmon. Anyways, the development is building right on top of the aquifer that directly supplies the hatchery with fresh water. And, of course, there's some opposition. There's been over 1,000 signatures signed so that they can move or stop the development, which I think is a great idea because there's nowhere that man has ever improved upon nature. And what we've seen is some really arrogant language coming from the developers just talking about how they can do a better job than nature has done with the fish hatchery. And what that means to me is that there will be no more fish there after they start building that fish hatchery. Because if there's no fish there or there's no fish being hatched, there's no fish to kill. Now, we're going to break, but when we get back, we'll be talking a little bit about minimum wage going up to $15 an hour here in BC, maybe, and why I think Donald Trump may be an alien. So, stay tuned.
Understand more about fashion. We asked CITR student executive and fashion expert Jonathan Q what fashion means to him.
Like, it's just aesthetically something that's so ostentatious, typically. I mean, because of course, I mean, it's also, you know, I mean, when you say fashion, I think people are talking explicitly about consumerism, as opposed to someone who buys, like, you know, let's say, you know, someone buys a clothing piece.
If you really want to know more about fashion, come on down to CITR in the Student Union Building of UBC and pick up some of our merchandise à la mode. Nous avons t-shirts, sweatshirts, socks, and coffee mugs.
But it's also very aesthetically gripping.
To keep you styling in support of the station you love. Isn't that right, Jonathan?
Well, actually, is it? Because, I mean, you know, I was going to say because of the cultural vacuum that we exist within, but then, you know, really, fashion today is kind of derived from the European idea of couture, and that's been around for centuries.
Tune in to African Rhythms every Friday from 7:30 to 9 o'clock. With your host, David Love Jones, as he plays a heavyweight selection of classics from the past, present, and future. This includes jazz, soul, hip-hop, Afro-Latin, funk, and eclectic Brazilian rhythms.
Lots of people, they take it like a game.
Playing your favorite songs for 13 years. The morning what? The morning after whatever you did last night.
You're back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR Vancouver's radio station. You're here with your host, Issa Arian. If you'd like to make a donation to the fund drive, it's 604-822-8648. That's 604-822-8648. Listen, you are supporting exactly what they don't want. And you know who they is. Independent content created by people like you and me. You're listening to the dance hall version of You're Making Me High. I don't know if you can, if you put dance hall and Toni Braxton, You're Making Me High together, probably some, let's get to minimum wage. So minimum wage in Vancouver right now is $10.85. And it's actually already going up at the end of 2017 to $11.25, but it's been proposed to be $15 an hour because if you heard earlier in the show, we're talking about $1 million apartments. And listen, you'll never be able to get a $1 million apartment making minimum wage here in Vancouver. Actually, so if you think about how housing is, so if there's $1 million condos, that means the condos around that $1 million condo are also really, really expensive. And you'll never be able to live in the city of Vancouver or even outside of the city of Vancouver if minimum wage stays so low. However, what we are seeing also, if you've ever driven down the Broadway corridor or the West 10th corridor or down Main Street, you'll see that there's, or downtown anywhere, there's so much retail space that is being unoccupied and has been unoccupied for a long time, particularly because they can't afford the rent. So small retailers can't afford the rent. They can't afford employees. And if they can't afford the rent, then they can't afford employees. And if they can't afford employees, the employees that do have jobs, they can't afford to live in Vancouver. So there's so many different problems caused with just housing. And while I think that raising minimum wage is a good idea, I don't think that it's particularly going to change much of how people are able to interact with the city. I think that there has to be some more things that go on. And I don't really hear very many solutions from the local politicians. However, I'm not a Canadian citizen. I can't vote for any of these people. So if you are a Canadian citizen and you're listening, please make a difference and listen to, or maybe make some proposals or do something so that it's nice. So that people can just live nice. One thing I saw this, you know, this is where we get get into some of the American politics. And while the politics that are important to me are things like the 2017 Chicken Tender Tournament bracket. Now, what it says at the bottom of, now, if you haven't seen this bracket, you can take a look at my Twitter. It's at Spoonie Love. That's SPOONIE _ love. Or you can take a look at my Facebook, which is just at Issa Arian, and you can see the 2017 Chicken Tender Tournament bracket. Now, you already know that this bracket is about to be on that BS because it's called Chicken Tenders instead of Chicken Strips. Let me take a deep breath, guys, because this really made me mad looking at it. They say it's all about respect when clearly this is all about disrespect. So if you haven't checked, you see that the one seed is Chick-fil-A, rightfully so. If you've ever had Chick-fil-A, regardless of their politics, them chicken tenders are fuego. Now, if you don't know Spanish, fuego means fire. And if you don't know slang, fire means fantastic. We can go into the number two seed, which I feel like is questionable at best. They have KFC. I don't even know why Applebee's is on here. Their food is microwaved. That's trash. Now, if you've never had number 13, so if you're not from Ohio or you've never been to Ohio and you see Cane's on here, you're probably like, what the hell is Cane's? I've never seen that before. Listen, Cane's, it's delicious. It's so delicious that even the knockoffs, they have knockoffs in Ohio, and even the knockoffs are delicious. They're not as delicious as Cane's. But still good nonetheless. What I thought was heavily disrespected was Popeyes. I thought that Popeyes being an eight seed is so disrespectful. Not only is it disrespectful to the people of Louisiana, but I feel like it's disrespectful to everybody who has ever eaten Popeyes in their life, knowing that Popeyes is way better. Way better. Burger King, terrible. McDonald's, not better than Popeyes. I don't even know why Wendy's is on here. Like, I like Wendy's chicken Wendy's chicken nuggets, but I don't even think they have chicken tenders. Like, this list, this you can tell this was compiled by somebody who has very limited fried chicken knowledge. Now, you can imagine what a limited fried chicken knowledge individual looks like, and that looks like who made this list, because somehow Buffalo Wild Wings made it to the finals versus Chick-fil-A. Now, this might seem like a little deal to you listening, but we have a Chick-fil-A BW3's finals. You know that the individual who made this put the two most bland, tasteless, like, I like Chick-fil-A, but that's why you need the sauces. Like, the two most bland, tasteless chicken tenders in the head-to-head, when they clearly had better opportunities to have Popeyes and Bojangles. I don't know how Bojangles didn't beat out Buffalo Wild Wings, but it's the level of disrespect that I cannot take. So I think that this weekend, while the NCAA March Madness tournament is going on, I'm going to put together my own chicken tender slash chicken nugget tournament, because I feel that they have already added the chicken nuggets without actually talking about it. So we're going to have our own tournament. And listen, and if you'd like to call in and tell me what your thoughts are on this chicken tender tournament, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-2487. Since it's the fun drive and we like to have fun, I'm just going to put you directly on air. And please don't say anything disrespectful, because I liked having a show here, and, you know, it means a lot to me. And if you say anything that gets me kicked off, I know I would be a little upset. So we were talking a little bit about the NCAA, and while I don't really fill out a bracket because I feel like it takes too much time and my brackets are always trash, like, I don't watch enough college basketball to know, to even think that I know anything, which I feel like would put me in a better position than a lot of the people who do watch a lot of college basketball, because everybody feels like they know what's going on. And when the bracket comes, nobody actually has a clue. It's all just wildly guessing. But shout out to Josh Hart from Villanova, because he's from my area, from Silver Spring, Maryland. And he was the Big East Player of the Year, or Big East Tournament Player of the Year, and Villanova's back-to-back champion. So shout out to Josh, and I hope that you guys can take it again, because since OU, Ohio University, is not in the tournament, I don't really care about any other teams, and I'll just root against Duke because I'm from Maryland, and that's what you do. But interestingly enough, like, we like to talk about the NCAA in a more meaningful matter here on Off the Beaten Path. Last year, 2016, the March Madness tournament generated $10.2 billion of economic activity, and that includes, like, $60 million for, like, towns like Dayton, Ohio. Now, if you've ever been to Dayton, I feel like the March Madness tournament is probably carrying that city, because that city has been through better times. Now, if you've ever been to, now go to Dayton and support tourism, because that place, man, I've only been there one time, and I wouldn't go back. I mean, I will go back. I've got a buddy's wedding there. Should be interesting. Maybe lots of fun. But Dayton has been doing better. But $10.2 billion in economic activity derived from the March Madness tournament, and that's 66 teams or 68 teams. You know, let's say there's like 15 people on the team. It's like 1,000 athletes that really are the driving force for what is NCAA March Madness. And most of those individuals, it's not like football where if you don't go to the NFL, then you can't play. Most of those individuals will I'll probably play overseas somewhere or try if they'd like to. But most of them won't go to the NBA, and well, very few of them will. And it's just crazy how much money is really created by these tournaments, these postseason tournaments in the NCAA. And they've taken 2 weeks off of school when they talk about how important school is for basically for other people to get rich. Now, I don't think we're going to see any reform in the system, in that system, for any time soon. But it's just important to note that, you know, when you're sitting around watching March Madness, like I will be on Saturday and today and Friday and Sunday, because while I am a critic, I'm addicted to college sports, and I'm just going to sit around and watch it. I don't think that makes me a hypocrite. I feel like that makes me honest. But what we see, so when you're sitting down and you're seeing and you're noticing these things, you know, just think about how much of that economic activity is. And if you're eating chicken tenders, I hope they're not Buffalo Wild Wings, because you can do better than that. And you should have more self-respect. When we get back, we're really going to be talking about why I think Donald Trump potentially might be an alien, and what you should and should not do this St. Patrick's Day, because you have better sense than Ezekiel Elliott.
Of contemporary cassettes and vinyl undergrounds, ranging from DIY bedroom pop and garage rock all the way to harsh noise and, of course, drone. Pop Drone, every Wednesday at 10 to 11:30 a.m. at CITR 101.9 FM.
My advice to young girls would be, go home after school.
Sunday, Monday, Sunday! Thursday night only, Thunderbird Radio Hell.
Hey, Ben.
Hey, Jay. How's it going?
All right, I guess.
I didn't think I would bump into you in the street.
No, usually on Thursday nights, I'm listening to Thunderbird Radio Hell.
So am I.
Yeah, usually the radio has a show on at 9 p.m. to 11
9 p.m. to 11 p.m. That's right.
It's a pretty good show.
Is that the show with the live bands?
Yeah, it sounds like there's talking between the band and the guy.
Yeah, that guy.
Interviewing bands while they're still alive.
I'll check it out.
Live from Thunderbird Radio Hell on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
When you join Balloon Club, we guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day.
Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about, well, paperclips mostly.
At Blah Club, you can blah blah, blah 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 blah.
Explosion!
There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live band swag, all types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar the Human Serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at
CITR.
So come check us out on the floor of the Student Union Building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
I went to Volunteer Wednesdays at CITR, and I met the love of my life. We just celebrated our 40th anniversary.
Thanks to Volunteer Wednesdays at CITR, I'm now the president of the Vegan Hot Dog Appreciation Society.
After going to Volunteer Wednesdays at CITR, I've successfully synthesized the vaccine for two left feet. Now everybody can dance.
Thanks to Volunteer Wednesdays at CITR, I'm now nominated for a Daytime Emmy Award.
If you want to change your life, come to Volunteer Wednesdays at CITR from 11 to 1 every week. No experience is necessary.
Thank you, Volunteer Wednesdays.
We'll be right back.
details, I think of me and Shelly. See, she's my type of hype, and I can't stand when brothers tell me that I should quit chasing and look for something better. But the smile that she shows makes me a go-getter. I haven't gone as far as asking if I could get with her. I just play love by ear and hope she gets the picture. I'm shooting for her heart and got my finger on the trigger. She can be my broad, and I can be her, and I can be her. All I can do is stay up. Back as kids, we used to kiss when we played truth or dare. Now she's more sophisticated, highly educated, not at all overrated. I think I need a prayer to get in a book, and it looks rather dry. I guess a twinkle in her eye is just a twinkle in her eye. Although she's crazy stepping, I try and stop the stride, cause I won't have no more of this passing me by.
Time for me to voice my opinion, can't be pretending she didn't have me. Sprung like a chicken, chasing my tail like a doggy. She was kind of like a star, thinking I was like a fan. Damn, she looked good. Downside, she had a man, he was a Rudy too, a Nick and Poo. She told me soon your little birdie's gonna fly the coop. She was a flake like corn, and I was born not to understand. But letting the past, I proved to be a better man. I wasn't such a wimp, cause then I would let you know that I love you so, and if I was your man, then I would beat you. The only lying I would do is in the bed with you. Then I signed to send the one who loves you dearly. P.S. love me tender. The letter came back 3 days later. Returned to sender.
You're back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR Vancouver's community radio station. I'm your host, Issa Arian, and if you'd like to donate to the fund drive, it's 604-822-8648. That's 604-822-8648. If you'd like to call in and tell me your favorite chicken tender, and I'll tell you why it's not as good as mine, that's 604-822-2487, 604-822-2487. Now, it's very interesting about you know, we're talking about fried chicken on the radio because this is something that I do not normally like to talk about or eat in front of my fair-skinned friends. I don't know why I feel very uncomfortable. Like, when I used to live in Cleveland, and there's lots of places that we used to have, you know, very, very good chicken and waffles for brunch. And I remember this place called Southside in Tremont. I'm not sure if it's still there, but if it is, the food is really good. So you should check it out if you ever get to stop into Cleveland. The first time I ever had chicken and waffles in public, I don't feel like people were looking at me. Like, I know for 100% fact that people were like, "Oh man, that guy ordered the chicken tenders. They must be really, really good." Because, you know, like, I feel like, you know, since I'm black and I got dreadlocks, that. And if you go places that, you know, normally don't have lots of many, many black people, and you order the fried chicken, you are de facto the fried chicken expert. And I don't really like feeling like that. You know, I have so I help with a summer camp, a spring break football camp. And we have some BC Lions that come in every day to talk and, you know, just to have fun with the kids. And one of the kids asked one of the BC Lions, does he like watermelon? Now, the kid's only 8 years old, so I feel like that, you know, it wasn't, I don't know how malicious it was. However, I told him, I said, "Hey, man, you know, that's not a question that you should be asking people." Now, I don't know that if that, maybe that's just like me and me just being in my head, because right now I think about it, I'm like, listen, the guy's 8 years old. Like, maybe, you know, he likes watermelon too. Like, everybody likes watermelon. It's a delicious fruit. But when you ask, you know, an individual, do they like watermelon? For some reason, not for some reason, for good reason, it just doesn't give you a very good feeling. Like, I played football at Ohio University, and we used to have this coach. His name is Jimmy. Yeah, I'll say his name on the radio. It's not like I said it like I was still scared of him, you know. Like, and like, why would I ever be scared of Jimmy, you know? Anyways, it's a very well known story about Jimmy that he says some questionable things. Like one time, every summer we have a few banquets, and so we go to the coaches' houses where the coaches' wives cook and the coaches cook, and we go to Jimmy's house because he's the defensive coordinator, so he has all the defense at his house. And it's very interesting because all the coaches, they live really close to each other. And so it's just a good time. So one of my friends, name's LJ, you know, he's eating some watermelon, and he asked our defensive coordinator. He says, hey, Coach Bro, you know, you going to have some of this watermelon? And Coach Bro says, no, LJ, I don't eat watermelon. I'm a white guy. Now that was funny at the moment, and it is still as funny because, you know, everybody eats watermelon, white people as well, because it's delicious. But if you add that to some of the other things that Jimmy has said, it just makes you a little uncomfortable. But back to some really more important news. So we're talking a little bit about, this is where we get to talk about President Donald Trump. And he was talking to Tucker Carlson on Fox News when Tucker Carlson asked if he consults anyone before he tweets. And Donald Trump says, let me tell you about Twitter. I think that maybe I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Twitter, because I get such fake press, such a dishonest press. I mean, if you look at it, I'm not including Fox because I think Fox has been fair to me. But if you look at CNN and those other networks, NBC, he goes into talking about how much money he made for NBC with The Apprentice. And basically he says they're despicable in their coverage. CBS, ABC, you take a look at what's going on. I call it the fake press, the fake media. It's a disgrace what they're doing. The news is not honest. It's not honest. And when I have close to 100 million people watching me on Twitter, including Facebook, including Instagram, including POTUS, including things, I guess I have 100 million people. I'm my own form of media. I tweet 2 or 3, 4 times a day. And if most of them are good, and I really want them all to be good, if I make one mistake a month, he's talking about, saying that Obama wiretapped him. He's like, I don't think it's going to prove to be a mistake at all. So basically, I feel like it's pretty evident that at this point that Donald Trump is, you know, he's the president. He's going to be who he is. I am not like most people. I think that he's going to last all 4 years, because I just feel like there's nothing really that he can say or do that really is going to surprise us. And I live in Canada, and hopefully they let me stay here for as long as, you know, I need to ride it out, because, you know, I don't want to go back. But it's just a problem, and it sets a really awful precedent that that the, you know, the leader of the country can just say, you know, that all the news that isn't favorable to him is fake or wrong. And this is I was thinking about this yesterday, of just about like how we get to the point where Donald Trump can tweet about Snoop Dogg he can tweet about Snoop Dogg and then tweet about how he's going to defeat ISIS, you know, in the same day, or talk about how he's going to solve any of America's ills while talking about Snoop Dogg, and says Snoop Dogg has had a failing career. Now, if you listening to this from BC or from anywhere in the world and you think Snoop Dogg has had a failing career, you can just turn me off right now. You can just shut this thing down right now, because Snoop Dogg is a legend. And not only is he a legend, he had one of the greatest debut albums of all time. Now, I don't know about you. But I didn't actually see the new Snoop Dogg video, but I guess in Snoop Dogg's new video, he, I guess, shoots a president that's kind of like the Joker. He shoots the president, shoots Donald Trump. And it got me thinking about how we treat celebrities, and then how are we going to treat celebrities in like a post-Donald Trump world. So Donald Trump has been a pretty celebrity for a really long time. I mean, he you know, he's a developer, and he builds hotels and apartment condos, and you know, he owned casinos, and he had a school, and he had a TV show. So he's really been a he has the Miss Universe pageant, or the Miss America. I know he used to own one of them, and so he's been a celebrity for a really long time, and you know, only recently has been now a politician. And the way that we talk about each of the politicians and celebrities are a little bit different, especially if they were a celebrity because they were a politician, which I feel like, you know, it's like Barack Obama. He's super famous, but that's because he was a politician. Or Donald Trump, who is, and like Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jesse Ventura, who were celebrities, and then they became politicians. And this is why I think it's important to talk about how we treat jokes, you know, and political correctness. And so I'm still editing. I have this interview about political correctness with this local comedian, Alex Biron, here, and I'll air it next Thursday. But how we talk about political correctness, and we talk about jokes, and we talk about things that celebrities say and do, and how a lot of the times they're excused because, I mean, we don't take celebrities serious. And so I feel like that Donald Trump has really made us think about our interactions with celebrities, and how we worship celebrities, and how we like think about the types of things that they do and say, which I think is important, because if you've ever seen Donald Trump, or you've ever heard him, or you took the time to try to get to know Donald Trump before you watched his TV show, you know, before you watched The Apprentice for those 14 seasons that it was on air, you wouldn't be surprised about some of the things that he says and the things that he wants to do. And you know, maybe you would have worked a little harder to not, you know what I'm saying, to work against him getting elected. But as you know, as I guess our exposure to politics matures, and I only say that